Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
The first use of nuclear weapons took place 70 years ago today by the United States. It was intentional. It was the dawn of a new age and the dawn of a new age of military mythology. Here's President Harry Truman, who learned about the secret existence of U.S. nuclear weapons only after FDR suddenly died and he was sworn in as president.
The world will note that the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, a military base.
But Hiroshima was no military base. And the first atomic bomb was developed to stop Hitler, not Japan. Once the U.S. had the bomb, though, the U.S. decided it was a necessary step to end the Second World War. The dual attacks on Hiroshima and Nagasaki 3 days later killed at least 129,000 people, most of them civilians, further devastating a Japan already in flames.
It felt as though the bomb had fallen directly on us. It reminded me of something I had read as a boy, a large meteor colliding with the Earth.
My sister and I were 2,000 yards away. My sister seemed quite normal during and after the blast, but a week later, she became sick and suddenly died. Doctor said it was radiation.
Eyewitnesses to the horrors of the nuclear age just beginning. Today, nuclear weapons are both much more sophisticated and deadly and deployed for vastly different reasons than in 1945. Nearly 16,000 nuclear weapons are in the arsenals of 9 countries around the world. Eric Schlosser, author of Command and Control, Nuclear Weapons, The Damascus Accident, and The Illusion of Safety, says the nuclear threat is still as deadly, but has lost its urgency, a fact Schlosser says we should all be worried about.
I think that nuclear weapons are the greatest national security threat that we face, and we must be deeply concerned about the proliferation of these weapons. I think the Iran deal must, you know, succeed, and we must prevent any other countries from getting these weapons, especially today when you have ideologies in the world that are celebrating the slaughter of civilians, celebrating the destruction of cultural monuments that date back centuries. Every one of those nuclear weapons is an accident waiting to happen. Sadly, these weapons have been largely forgotten in the United States. I grew up in the 70s and 80s, where it was something that people thought about every day, and I don't have nostalgia for that period. But what's remarkable today is the historical amnesia about all aspects of nuclear weapons.
And if we were to take a look at the history of the nuclear systems in the world, we really learn a very, very scary series of stories of near misses and, you know, 6-minute decisions. Run down the timeline of some of the scary moments that Americans have virtually no memory of.
It was quite astonishing to learn how close we came to losing American cities to our own nuclear weapons during accidents, and also how close we came to an all-out nuclear war with the Soviet Union. This information was denied during the Cold War, and it's only since the early 1990s that the documents have been declassified and that the officials are willing to speak on the record about how close we came. And this is a very difficult technology to manage. I mean, during the Cuban Missile Crisis, you know, there were all kinds of ways that a nuclear war could have occurred just because there were so many weapons and so many individual local commanders who were authorized to use them without having to contact the head of either country. In my book, I also look at one accident in Damascus, Arkansas, at some length, that could have detonated a huge thermonuclear warhead. It would have destroyed much of the state of Arkansas, contaminated large areas of the eastern seaboard, and may have killed Bill Clinton, who was the young governor of Arkansas at the time.
Our understanding of the actual use of nuclear weapons at the end of World War II is also not very accurate. I mean, if you look at the details of why we used bombs in Japan on Nagasaki and Hiroshima, strategically, if we were to look back today, there wasn't a reason necessarily to use either of those, and the harm was mostly to civilians. There's a decent argument to be made that it was a a war crime as much as it was a strategic end to World War II.
You know, it's a subject surrounded by enormous controversy. And I think it was a war crime in the sense that we killed hundreds of thousands of innocent civilians. And not just in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, we destroyed dozens of Japanese cities with firebombs, deliberately. At the same time, these actions have to be viewed in context. The Japanese killed between 10 to 30 million civilians in China. They killed a million Chinese civilians with biological and chemical weapons, and it was a very ugly war. There were many people at the time in the military who thought we could have defeated Japan without using atomic weapons, but they were arguing that we should continue firebombing them. So the importance of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, to me, beyond the needless death of the victims there, is those bombings offer a harbinger of what warfare could look like in the future. It's mind-boggling, the devastation that occurred. There have been studies recently that show that if India and Pakistan engaged in a small nuclear exchange, using 100 nuclear weapons or 150, a billion people could die. Now, I'm not apocalyptic, having done all this research. I don't lie in bed at night worrying it's going to happen, but I am concerned. I am concerned about the possibility of terrorist groups getting one of these weapons.
Finally, are we going to coexist with nuclear weapons in the sense that, as you've described, a desensitization with mass slaughter in the Middle East, if you look at the situation in Syria, possibly even the situation in Ukraine, a plane shot down over Ukraine and nobody really talks about it at all. Is that a sign that we will eventually coexist with the mass slaughter that's possible from nuclear weapons, or that we will put them away in a drawer and never use them again? What are the scenarios? Do people have a 100 years out look at where nuclear weapons will be?
You know, people hugely disagree. There are some people who believe that nuclear weapons guarantee that nations won't fight major wars against one another anymore. And that logic is true until it isn't. I think it's miraculous that no city has been destroyed by a nuclear weapon since 1945. As long as they exist somewhere in the world, I think there's a huge chance that one of them will go off and hurt other people.
Eric Schlosser, author of Command and Control, Nuclear Weapons and the Damascus Accident and the Illusion of Safety. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.